On this episode of Two Dudes, One Cart, it's U.S. Open week, the second best major right after the Masters. What a time. Oakmont. Oh, boy. So John and I are going to sit down and discuss that and different things in golf. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Two Dudes, One Cart podcast. Well, the boys are sitting down back together. We're preparing ourselves for U.S. Open week and the carnage that could be possible in Pittsburgh. Weather here in Indy, it's coming around. We're going to see some more consecutive days of sunlight. I know me and John are looking forward to that, a lot less rain. But hope everybody out there is doing well and playing some golf. But John, how you doing tonight?
Oh, just wonderful. Loving the rain.
So, John, how excited are you for the U.S. Open?
I mean, it's not the Masters, right? But I am looking forward to seeing some high scores at the Open.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's the second best major.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
let's
sure.
Be honest. It's right behind the Masters. You can argue whatever you want on the back end. To me, I would still take the PGA over the Open.
Yep, same.
Just because, I don't know. Sometimes it depends on the venue of the Open. It makes it a little bit more nostalgic and so on and so forth. But I'm looking forward to it. I've partaked in several videos that I found on the YouTubes. It was pretty shocking on some of them. I watched Bryson's video, and that was pretty shocking to see how tight and how furry that place is.
Oh yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it because we've already got stories of Adam Scott shooting a 3-over on the front nine, McIlroy shooting a. Oh, let me see. I'm looking at the news right here. He had a 7 on number 2 and a 4 on the 298 par 3 8th.
Yeah.
I know he had a rough go around there. So that's – I don't know, man. But I'll tell you what, Bryson looked pretty good in that video. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah,
and,
chipping out greenside.
Yeah, still my pick. I mean, I would love to see Scheffler win another one just for the history of it. But if Bryson has control over that golf ball, man, with that speed and that length, that's going to be hard when you see a guy that's, you know, not hitting much more than 7-8 iron a lot of the times. He did pick out some woods and hits some shots, but most of his stuff is right up there, so I don't know how you beat that.
Yeah, and just having the power to get out of the rough too, you know. I mean, you saw him taking full swings 10 feet off the green, and the ball's only going, what, 12 feet?
Yeah, it's amazing. I know we've both probably seen a lot of the YouTube crowd out there playing and see them, you know, kind of the devastation of what they were going through and the struggles they were having. But I'm pretty psyched for it. I think it's cool when it's at a venue like that that's had so much history and had, God, I'd have to look. I'm going to take a stab at this. Don't anybody hate me, but I'm thinking this is their 12th or 13th U.S. Open.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know it's been there quite a bit.
But, man, I think it's.
I would love to play it. I would love to get beat up by that golf course.
Oh, me and you both. I wouldn't mind going out there. That's one of those places. Like we've talked about it several times about our trip to Valhalla. It wouldn't have mattered if we would have shot 120 there.
No.
It was just that you were there. I mean, you want to play good. Don't get me wrong, but just being there and the time you spend on a course like that and realizing who all has played there and the history of it all. And
yeah,
it's more of an experience than it is like a competitive round of golf, I guess you say. For us, us hackers, or, you know, we don't have access like the PGA Tour guys do, but that place looks pretty tough.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to I would like to see the winner come in at 3 or 4 under for the weekend. You know, that'd be pretty cool to see that instead of these 19, 20 unders for a tournament. It'd be awesome just to see 3 or 4 under win the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say when Dustin Johnson, I think, won that, he was, I think there was only four people under par that year. And I was thinking he was only like maybe three or four under.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's longer now and it's tougher now. They just had a little, some rework done. So, and
Yep, I
watch
like
it.
it.
If people haven't got a chance or you're not into YouTube golf, that's fine. But get on and check out these videos to see how massive these greens are, but how well they hide the undulations and how much this break. I mean, you may have, man, I don't know, 10, 15 foot areas that
Yeah.
you have to land the ball in to where, where it'll try to stay still. I mean, I watch Bryson try to hit a 30 some odd foot putt up the hill and it rolled back. I thought it was
Yep.
going to come all the way back to his feet.
Yeah.
So is that was it, what's your guess there? You're going that we're definitely going to be under par?
I still think, yeah, I think there's going to be probably, I'm going to say 12 to 15 people under, but I don't think it's going to be deeper than 6 under.
Yeah, I'd be shocked. I mean, I guess if we get some rain, or something like that, like the first couple of days or whatever leading up to it, you might see somebody get a relatively low number in one day, but I think it'll even all out.
Yeah.
I don't if it reached 8 under, I would be pretty shocked.
I would lose money on that bet.
Yeah, just seeing how people are playing it and the stories coming out, man, because it really looks tough, that's for sure. So I'm with you. I would say you may have 10 people under par,
Yeah.
maybe.
That's what I'm hoping for. I really am. I mean, I
Yeah,
want to
this.
see, even the winner, I want to see some doubles or triples out of these guys. You know, they're fighting back just to try to maintain par. I'd like to see some of the big hitters play a little different strategy and hit maybe driving iron off the tee just to get shit in the fairway so they don't have to. I don't know. I don't even know how you get it out of that rough. I mean, I
No,
was
and
looking at it. I'm like, just take a 60 out and hope that you can get it back in the fairway somehow.
thank God they have spotters.
Yeah, no crap.
My God, we'd have to go out there with 12 dozen balls. They'd be like, "Oh, we lost that
I mean, that happened to me at the Barstool.
Yeah,
It
just watching
was
them
great.
drop those in there and going, and you're like, "Where in the hell is that?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for it. It's not. I mean, I really like the US Open, but like you said, it's not the Masters. I'll check in with the scores, but it's still probably a. I'll sit down Sunday and watch the final round, probably. Maybe a
Yeah.
little Saturday. Doubt well with the events I got going coming up, maybe not, but it's
Yeah, I'll watch some of it. I mean, I'll definitely have live scoring on my app. We're getting refreshed Thursday and Friday. Saturday, I'll tune in depending on, the time of the day. And then Sunday, probably we'll watch at least the last couple hours of it.
Yeah, and it's some other interesting stuff outside of the US Open that I thought was pretty cool. I was listening to an interview with Lydia Ko. And I didn't this didn't even cross my mind, but she said there's a lot, not only of female golfers, but she knows there's a lot of golfers that get onto YouTube and like for instance Aaron Hills. They were talking about that and they watched the Major Cut series with Grant Horvat and the Bryan brothers to see how they played that course. And I thought, and I never really thought about that, but that's pretty cool that they're getting on there and going, "Oh, well, hey, we see, if you hit the ball over here, you hit the ball over there," because they're playing it from tour tees basically, and you can get the
Yep.
lay of the land. And I thought that was pretty interesting to hear somebody admit that out loud.
Yeah, I mean it's at your fingertips. So if you kind of want to see what the course actually play like instead of doing a flyover, I mean, you'll watch some shorts on YouTube and get a firsthand experience of where you can be, where you can't be.
Yeah, and I thought that was a pretty cool idea. I mean, we've all done it. We do it before we go somewhere and we want to watch and see what the course is like. Hoping we get some sweet inside info or what have you. But I just think it's, because you always hear a lot of professionals go, "What's YouTube golf? Why would I watch that?" You know what I mean? And I think that's a I just think it's pretty neat, and I think it's a sign of a lot of things to come. I think a lot of people will buy into that watching, especially with what the Horvat's doing, going to these major venues and playing around.
I'd like to see more drone footage closer to the ground, at like head l eye level if you're
Right.
walking
Yeah,
towards that way instead of the flyover.
yeah.
Because that's how you're going to perceive it. You want the visual as you're riding in a cart or walking down the fairway. So I think that will be interesting if anything like that comes up because almost all the course is now a flyover. So see if
Yeah,
they
and
can
it'd be,
do it.
yeah, like you said, it'd be nice for it'd be great. You could see more of the lay of the land. I think they do a reasonable, they do a pretty good job of it, and you get a lot of camera views as they're standing there getting ready to hit their shot, and you can kind of see the lay of the land and how it undulates and turns, especially at places like Whistling Straits, Erin Hills, and so on and so forth. But
For sure.
so, who's your pick, John, to win the U.S. Open?
I mean, I kind of like Bryson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to bet against Scotty. Those are the only really two that I have, like, that I think are on top of their game that can win any week.
Yeah, I think you want we I like to throw in the dark horse, but I would be willing to risk to make less money to bet Bryson and Scotty than I would to take somebody that's plus 3,800 that has no chance. Unless, I guess, less if you from a gambling standpoint, if Rahm might be on some kind of a heater, he may not be a bad choice as a dark horse. Not saying that a lot of the other guys don't have the chance to win. I mean, I think they all, for the most part, at a course like this, have a chance. But when you look at a guy like, oh well, if you look at a guy like Rahm that can get a little squirrely with the driver, it's kind of hard unless it's a name like that, Xander maybe or whatever.
I mean, how cool would it be if one of the amateurs won? I mean, I don't know what the odds are, but they got to be like one in a million.
Oh my God, I can't. You
It would
probably
be.
have a better chance of winning the lottery while getting struck by lightning.
Yep. Would be cool to see, though.
Oh, I agree with you. It'd be insane. I mean, that'd be probably one of the most memorable U.S. Opens you'll ever remember. But the other thing is that, what do you think of Jack Nicklaus's comments at the memorial? I know we've had some other podcasts in between here and haven't had really a chance to talk about the memorial and what Scotty's done, and the fact that, my God, it's almost getting hard to talk anything less than Scotty. But did you hear any of his comments?
I mean, just briefly, nothing really stuck with me from it, but
Well, just the comment. I thought it was. I think he's just at that age, like he doesn't care. He's just gonna say whatever. Where he called a. Nick Taylor, he's a good player, but Scotty knows they're not in his league. I thought
coming down the last, 4 or 5 holes, he goes, yeah, he just
that.
Scotty wasn't worried about it. There was no pressure for him.
And then he makes the comment about how much he dislikes the walking interviews, which I think me and you both have already, I really don't. It's okay, but I don't care for it. But he was like, they were walking. He said something to the fact that they were walking down talking to Ben Griffin, and here this guy's getting ready to have to make this shot. He's got all this stuff on the line. He's in the lead. and they want to talk to him about X instead of letting him focus on what he's getting ready to do. And Jack talks the shot out. He's got a ball that's in the first cut. He's got tree trouble, has to hit a low cut. It's like he's on the golf course with him. And I just thought, man, the dude's just at the age now. Like,
Yeah, just tell it how it is.
what are you gonna do? Are you gonna push Jack Nicklaus off the mic?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just it was incredible. And then they brought up the Rory thing in the interview about him being no show and not calling, and they kind of made a big deal out of it. But Jack basically just said, he has a schedule that he wants to do, but I just thought it was crazy to see him. I think that's really the first time I've ever seen him really just almost put people on the grill.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just roasted him right there on the spot. So what's on John's agenda golf wise here coming up?
Just got done with the Barstool Classic. That was fun. Came out of the gate freaking hot. 6 under through 8, and then we crapped the bed. Rough was super thick. Lost a couple balls in the rough. Couldn't find them. Looked forever. Didn't have spotters. You've never got the chance to do that. I'd say you do it one time. Go try to qualify, big tournament, get in the top four, get to go out to Arizona and play. So that was a lot of fun. Didn't really, I mean, don't get me wrong, those guys at Barstool Sports are awesome. I wasn't nervous or hyped up to meet any of those guys. You know, it was cool
Right.
meeting Leaf and a couple of the other guys that were there, but didn't really do anything for me, but it was fun playing in a competitive field that big, and it wasn't flighted too, right? So you're playing against guys that were plus fours all the way up to 15 handicap. So it was, that made that fun. Got a couple member guests coming up. Got the Hillview member guest coming up this month, on a couple weeks on the, I think it's June 19th, 20th, and 21st. It'll
Yes,
be a 3-day deal.
pretty sure.
Got July member guest out at Elon National. That's the 18th, 19th, and 20th. That's a 3-day deal. Saturday, I have the men's ABCD shootout in the afternoon at Elon. So every hole, somebody switches from black tee to blue tee to yellow and then white, and then you rotate what tee you go from. No, this weekend's the, you play three guys as a scramble, one guy as a single. Next hole, somebody else goes as a single, and you do two man best ball.
Oh, that's man, that's a
Yeah.
cool idea.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun. You rotate one guy, and
And
you
it's
just keep.
three man team?
Four man teams,
Four
you
man
got
team.
three guys on the scramble, one
I
guy
got
playing
you.
himself, and then you do the two man total. So it's not a best ball, two man total. And then next week we do the rotating tee shots. So a couple of fun events out at Elon that I'm looking forward to. And then in July, you and I get to play against old Matt Blair, Bubba, and Jeremy Allen. So at the Rock.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. One, just to get back. I like Rock Hollow, such a fun course.
Yeah.
And not so much a hidden gem anymore. I think everybody knows that you got to get up there and play it. It's always in great condition, and it's if you've never been there, I'm shocked at one, but it's wild the fact that where you pull up and you pull in and you're like, "Whoa," and then you get on the course and you're like, "Whoa," you're overwhelmed because it's such a great place. But man, you got a full golf schedule coming up, man.
Yep, got a lot of golf coming up. There might be a couple other little things in there too. I know we got King of the Hill coming up at Elon. It's always choose ups on Thursdays, Bush League on Tuesday nights if the rain holds off. So yeah, we got a full schedule, hitting the ball really well. Really don't have any complaints about my game right now, per se. Like there's no like sticking point of, oh man, my irons are letting me down, my wedges are letting me down. Just have those errant tee shots or, a thinned iron shot here or there or a chunked chip. or, just total misread on a putt. So the days that all that's working, I'm shooting, mid to low 70s. And on the days that I'm having a couple, bad drive on one hole, bad iron shot on the next, high 70s, low 80s. So I'm content. Just would like to keep it more dialed after all these net events that we have.
Yeah, I'm hoping after these things I got going on, graduations and whatnot, gets over with, I can get out and get some more time on the course, get some more tee, peg it up a few more times, and get some rounds in, 'cause I'm raring up to play. I'm ready to go, that's for sure.
Yeah, like our 27 holes at Ewan was probably, the best time I've had in a while on a golf course.
Oh, dude, we were having a blast. I'd run that pairing back anytime. That was a good
Yeah,
time.
70s and sunny with a slight breeze all day. Cocktails were flowing. Ball striking was hit or miss, but we all had some good shots that day. And yeah, it was a lot of miss that kind of golf. Can do that all summer long.
Ewan was in fabulous shape as always. You never played there. And you're listening to this podcast, me and John are willing to take some smoke. If you want to get out there and you want to go get at it.
That's a good place to do it.
Yeah, we can easily put together a foursome there and do a little two-man, one best action.
Oh, yeah.
So, John, what do you think is going to happen with LIV Golf?
Oh, not
Well,
really sure. Saw Sergio got a new teammate, right? The
The
amateur.
reigning USAM champion.
Yep. I don't know. All I know is I'm really looking forward to seeing them in August when they come to Indy. I don't have a clue on earth what's going to happen to them.
Yeah, I just brought it up just to get that out there. Just, I knew
Yeah.
you'd jump right on that about having that new young kid sign on there, and I think it's got to be a little bit telling that a lot of this young talent is going there, because I'm thinking, and we've talked about it before, why wouldn't you, for the fact that you're going to get, a decent amount of money, you're playing in a smaller field, you get a good, it's kind of like a really juiced up, the Korn Ferry or whatever, however you want to look at it,
Yeah.
it's a way for you to
It's
get
like the
out
Korn
there.
Ferry with half the amount of people in it.
Yeah, and you're going to play against, regardless of what people say, you're playing against some pretty good talent.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you got multiple people in there in the top 25 in the world.
Yeah, I mean, they may not. I mean, if you go to the right website, they're showing us Data Golf will show the who's the top 25, but World Golf Rankings, not so much.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I hope they continue to do whatever they're wanting to do, and I hope it gets some. I don't want it to go away, put it that way, because I like the team event. I like the shortened. I mean, I almost wish the PGA would go to a smaller schedule, but they have so many people that are trying to get in it. It's just like trying to pack all these tournaments in. I mean, golf is so big tournament wise, whether it's Korn Ferry, the one of the Latin tours, or Asian tours, or whoever. I mean, there's just so many good golfers out there. It's like it has to grow. So you're going to have different leagues, It's
Yeah,
kind of like soccer.
something's going to have to change in the future. It's not whether LIV and PGA ever join. I don't think, like we've said before, we don't really care. I'm just bringing that up to kind of put this conversation in there a little bit, is that the tours, they're going to have to do something.
Yep.
Because you have all this amazing talent. And if you don't think so, look at the other day for U.S. Open qualifying, when you have guys that are
17 years old.
but they're shooting really good numbers, but they can't get to the PGA Tour. It's so tough for them to get to the PGA Tour, and a lot of them may be banking on, hey, if I could win the U.S. Open, I could get into XYZ, so on
Yeah.
and so forth. But the I don't mind the amount of tournaments they play. you know, as long as they can get sponsorship and they, and you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if they got more players in, I think they could get fill the events a little bit more with more talent. I think it's bothersome a little bit the way they kind of call those, you know, I forget what they call the secondary. They call them like secondary events that, you know, like when you got one event going on, this
Yeah.
event's opposite field event or whatever. And I think all the tournaments matter. You know, if everybody can get the option to win, I mean, I know everybody wants to see Scottie Scheffler, and it kind of drives me nuts when you're online and that's the conversation. Well, there's nobody in the leaderboard. What do you mean there's nobody in the leaderboard? You're looking at the top 1% of golfers, no matter what you do, no matter where. Well, I don't care what one's on Peacock and one's on NBC. It's the top 1%. If you're on there talking about that, that's because you're not even in the top 30%. You know, you're nowhere near that.
Not even sniffing it.
And I'd be fine with that because you're right. If they had, you may find more people getting into these underdogs that are on these opposite field events, if that's what you want to call it. You're gonna have people go, "Oh man, I really want to watch." And you just gotta spice it up a little bit, whether it's like team events or something like that. Because
Something, yeah.
you know, me and you would love to watch that. Not everybody would, but there's a high percentage of population that would.
Yep.
So I think their growth has to go in that direction instead of trying to whittle it down and take away card options and all these things. They're trying to, maybe they have a breakdown about, you know, your health care and all that stuff. Maybe there's something they have to do there. I don't know financially, but the more people, the better, I think, and the more opportunities, the better. Because you don't know how many Scottie Schefflers or Bryson DeChambeaus may actually be out there. They just can't get the break.
Yeah. I mean, after seeing that 17-year-old go 18 under,
Yes. What do you do? Was it 63, 63 or something like that?
63, 63. There was a 14-year-old kid that almost made it.
And Max Homa didn't.
And Max Homa didn't.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think on a little bit of equipment news? I really want to talk to you because you're probably the newest convert, if you will, from the Scotty Camerons, the Even Rolls, the, you know,
Yep.
Paretti's. What is your feeling now? What would you tell our audience now that you've kind of gotten over the newlywed stage with the lab? And what you feel like that's how that's changed your putting. And I think you would now be past the point to where you're like, you know, it's not a gimmick. You know that there's
Yeah, I
something
mean,
going on there.
I'm comfortable with the putter in my hand. How about that? You know, we're
Right.
done dating. You know, we went on a couple of first dates, got the feel. You know, now I'm saying, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom and take a shit. I'll be right back on. Pause the movie. You know, that stage. You know, I love the lab putter. I think the lab putter for me doesn't make more putts for me, but it removes a lot of three putts out of my game. So I don't think I make more one putts than I do with the Scotty. I think I probably made more one putts with the Scotty in a round, but I remove seems like 90%. I don't three putt maybe once a round. I mean, I've had multiple rounds since getting that putter. I just don't three putt.
Yeah, it's it's
Instead of
it.
lag golf, I almost want to call it lag golf. I'm a great lag putter with a lab putter in my hand.
Now, do you think that's stability, you know, kind of with how they've engineered those putters? Do you think that's what's led to that and a lot less? Because people don't believe it. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the little videos of people going, "Oh, Lab Golf wants to make you think your putter will spin around in your hands like they show it in the revealer," which is totally not the point. But you know, I have a Hack motion sensor, and I've been messing around with putters with different size grips on them, on blades or on some of the
Yeah.
mallets that I have. And I really didn't notice it. Like on, I've got the, I don't know, it's about 12 foot long, the perfect practice. But I went over to Smok, and I can hook that hack motion up to my phone. And you would be amazed at how much ulnar deviation you have in your hands when you when you're hitting with a blade putter from a long distance, say a 25 footer or something like that, and how much more stable your hands are with the lab putter. And what was also ironic is that I had less hand movement with the smaller, kind of the small, the original pistol style Scotty grip, the small grip like Tiger used. I had more control with that than I did with a bigger grip, which I thought was pretty crazy as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always love the small pistol grip from Scotty. It's one I prefer. I never like the jumbo or
Right.
the 2.0, whatever.
Right.
I feel like on hangover days, it's a whole lot easier to pull the lab out of the bag just because it feels smoother.
Right.
And I'll have to try to roll the ball. And then on other days, it's obviously just as smooth. But yeah, I would say the only difference is I feel like a Scotty blade, I can just make, I don't know, it's just maybe just the length of time I've been playing with them. But 15 foot and in, I think I can make anything with a Scotty. In lab, I'm burning up edges. I just don't make as many. I think my consistency putt over putt is a lot more consistent with the lab than it is with the Scotty. I just think I just make more one putts.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think the big point of all that is you probably make, well, let's not say make, maybe that's the wrong words, but you're probably, what do you think, eight less strokes around? Maybe six. Let's go six. I could see six.
I mean, I think it's
I mean, you're still eliminating
plus or
three
minus two
putts.
either way, depending
Right.
on the day. Because if I make two birdies more than I would with a lab with my Scotty, but I have two, three putts that round, it washes, right? But on the same token, I mean, I went that 75 round I had the other day, I didn't make any birdies. I just putted really good and didn't three putt, but I hit the ball tee to green. I was on the green a lot more. Could I have
Yeah, I
gone
mean,
low? Potentially.
so what's your opinion then? Just another putter?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's especially for a new golfer, I think it'd be great to get a lab putter to start off with. Just because I think it's an easy putter to pick up and just start using. You'll have a lot of consistency, at least for speed control and general alignment, like getting things online. And then play around with them. Get a Scotty Cameron, get a lab, or get a Bettinardi or the Odyssey. Get one of each, and then just play 10 rounds with one, play 10 rounds with the other, and then I don't know. I mean,
Yeah,
I
I
had.
think I thought about doing that. I got a family member just started golfing not too long ago, and I thought about having him meet me up at like a Golf Galaxy or PGA Superstore or whatever. And since he's such a new golfer, and say, "Hey, we're gonna go up 4 feet, and I want to video you rolling in 4 footers with this blade, and then 4 footers with this mallet, then 4 footers with an Oz." Or I just think. You're probably the only person so far that I've talked to that it's not changed their putting game a lot. I know that most everybody that's converted, I guess, has had, major success with putting. I like the. I wish you probably would have never said that to me, but that Oz 0.1, man, that insert, that I mean, I love the way all the lab putters feel, but something about when I started hitting that thing with that insert in, I was like, great, now I'm sold. Now John's got me on G4s in this freaking lab. I gotta find one of these.
Yeah, the insert is, I liked it because it feels like you're hitting a regular, 306 stainless steel putter.
Yeah, but I still think it feels, even with the insert, a little softer.
Yeah, and maybe it's not the feel as much the sound when the ball
Yeah.
comes off the club face, right?
Yeah, more or less that's what kind of
Probably the sound more than
feel
anything.
is
I
the
hear
sound.
that click instead of that deadening sound.
Right. So what do you think about them? Do you think they're actually going to do this ball rollback? You think that actually ever goes through?
I hope not. I mean, I just don't see it doing anything positive for the game of golf.
And I only bring it up because obviously I listen to a lot of podcasts. There's a lot of chatter about that. And man, the more I hear people talk about it and the more I hear, people talk about, maybe differing the conditions, tightening the fairways. And not a lot of it's just lengthening the rough. A lot of it is tightening the fairways and plant material and stuff like that that you have that can be around, whether it's wood chips around the trees that make it a little bit more difficult. And it really seems like it will do more harm than good after listening to a lot of people that are, involved in a lot of that. And it just sounds like it's going to do way more harm than it is good.
Yeah, I mean, I like making the course tougher for the pros.
Right.
That's just simple. If I get a chance to go play one of those courses, I want to get beat up. I don't think you should do that to public courses as much, just because you're going to hurt the pace of play. If we all had US Open rough on every single course, we'd have
Right.
5, 6 hour rounds everywhere you went, right? So you can't do that. But for the pros, instead of rolling balls back or do more restrictions on equipment, grow out the rough, tighten them instead of, 18-yard fairways, make them 12. Call it a day,
Or
get that rough up there.
at least try it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of the fairways out there at Oakmont that are only 18 yards wide, and we're getting ready to see what that test is going to be like. But what also I would like to see is if they did, if somebody went out, I don't care if it's a YouTube golfer, the Bryan brothers, or Bryson goes back out and they're bringing the course back because, they're going to bake the thing out.
Yep.
Bringing the course back and they mow down that rough for the members, but you let Bryson come out there and see what he would actually shoot with the rough mowed down
Yeah.
and but the green still rolling at say 12.
Yeah, whatever the standard is out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would like to see because I think that would show a lot of what we're talking about. And you're like, why roll back the ball? He still struggled here. It's in the greens,
Yeah.
Matt, the undulations and the different things they can do. And, I would just rather see that. I know it's a topic that's definitely old and tired, but I hope they don't do it because then you create this separation of between pros and amateurs and, everybody wants to play what their guy's playing, and then amateurs shouldn't be playing a ball that's been rolled back. And if you're going to do that, I want you to go out there with range balls and try to
Yeah, I get it. I
play.
agree.
Well, I just want to jump on here and cover that because we've got U.S. Open week and it's a pretty exciting week. Got a lot of big names. Both the tours are coming together, obviously. Especially after Rom showing at the Memorial, even Bryson showing at the Memorial. I think we could see some really bad days or fireworks. It's going to be hard to tell. But I just wanted to jump on here and get that covered and kind of get in the know and touch base with you on a couple other things. And it's about all I had, man.
Yeah, I guess the only other thing I'll add is when I'm really looking forward to the US Open, being the conditions are that rough, how are these guys are mentally going to handle it when bad things happen to him on the golf course. You know?
Yeah, you're gonna that.
Because you can't overpower the course, right? If you hit it in that rough, you're like, these guys are not used to shooting five over par.
Well, let's talk about that just for a second. If you have that rough and the USGA doesn't pay attention like they've done in the past at the US Open and they let those greens get too far, at what point is it just a circus? If you've got thick roughs, you're really getting no spin, and now you want them to land on a 3 foot round piece of plywood that's rolling at 13, 13 and a half stem. But I mean, that's pretty damn quick.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how these boys mentally handle themselves in these conditions coming
Well, which would you, if you were in the USGA shoes, and I'll just start it off so that way you kind of know what I'm getting at. I think I would want the rough where it's at, just for the history of the club. It
Yep.
doesn't have it, just that's the history of the place. But I would want the greens not super receptive, but I would like the ball to be able to stay on the green.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if false fronts, stuff like that, you'd want it to roll off, right? Because you didn't hit it to the right 10 by 10 area. But I want the greens quick. I don't want them like putting on concrete, but I want them quick. And I want the rough to be super thick. You know, I would like to see a good second cut. Maybe you narrow the fairway down to, you know, another couple of yards on each side of the fairway down, then just make the second cut a little bit wider. And then have that, you know, that third layer of rough, which is going to be 6 inches thick or crap and thicker than hell. And then I want the greens rolling at, you know, 12 and a half, you know, almost 13. I don't think you need, I don't like to see hard greens where they bounce all over the place. I would say normal firmness of the greens, a medium firmness. And just make sure the greens are rolling fast and, you know, the fairway skinny, the second cut, you're going to lose half the spin, and then you get it in the third cut and the thick stuff, and you don't know how it's going to come out of there.
Yeah, I think that's hard though for you to have receptive and fast all at the same time from an agronomy standpoint, but I mean I'm sure you can get fairly close, but whew,
Yeah, why
I just don't want to see them throw a reasonable shot, even if it's a shot that's couple hops and skip and then just releases a little bit and it just releases all the way off the green, anywhere else it would have.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can hold those shots because they do at the Masters,
Yeah.
which is why I have a hard time straying away with picking Scottie Scheffler as good as he is around Augusta and dealing with those greens. But no, I think it's I think that's what the US Open brings is this type of conversations where you're like, well, wait a minute, you start thinking
Yep.
about what could be and what they could do and what could happen. And
All I know is it's going to be a mental challenge for these guys. I think you're going to
Yeah,
see a lot more safe shots off the tee. You're going to see people more less risk adverse out here. You know, where they're just trying to get up and down, play to get up and down if they're off the fairway. So it's going to be funny to see how they handle it because they're not going to have as many birdie opportunities out there.
well, maybe we should put together something about over under a number of club breaks, people
Yeah.
breaking clubs, number of how many players actually hit driver all week,
That's why it would be cool to have all the caddies mic'd up so they can see how many times, you know, their player cusses or gets pissed off.
Oh, I can imagine there's going to be some. There's probably going to be some bent clubs. I mean, I can't imagine something coming out of some of that. When, if you hit a solid drive, and we've had it happen, obviously, and it bounces into something like that, and you got to dig it out, and you're like, how did I even get here? and you get so frustrated that now your best attempt is going to be 40 yards out of the rough if you're lucky in some spots.
Yeah.
To hit now hit your third, you know. Well, it'll be interesting to see, and obviously it's going to be a great tournament, and you never know what could happen.
Hopefully we get some amateurs onto the weekend.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, John, as always, it's good to sit down and talk, and I appreciate you taking the time, and we're going to
For
wrap up
sure.
another one, and we'll do a little review when the US Open is over. Hey, I wanted to add this on to the end of this podcast to talk about our French Lick golf trip. I know that some have seen us already post it. Some people thought it was a scam. I just wanted to, kind of give you a little preview. Basically, what we have is it's a $1,055.67 per person for double occupancy at French Lick Springs, $1,299 for single occupancy rooms at French Lick Springs. And what's going to happen, what's kind of the itinerary, is we're going to go down at Sultan's Run. Our tee time start at 2:18. So that way, if you don't got to rush down there, you get, we go down and play, we leave there, we go over to French Lick Springs. The next morning, we get up, we play 36 holes at Pete Dye Course. It's hard to beat that. The caddy tip is not included. I'm trying to verify. I've got some information that the caddy tip, the I guess you call it the minimum tip, has went up to 45 from 40, but I will verify that, and we'll have a kind of a more expanded talk about this on the next podcast, which will be next Thursday. Then you got the we'll have the 36 at Dye's on Saturday. That's 8:02. So we start at 8:30 a.m. Our replay starts at 2:12, and the replay rates are included. Replay rate for Sunday, 8:03 at Donald Ross. First tee times at 8:30, with replay starting at 2:12. Again, that is paid for. And even if you didn't want to stay for the whole second 18, like you couldn't get Monday off or whatever the case, you're still money ahead on this trip. So we hope we get everybody to get involved. It's a 36 man. We got 36 openings, basically. We've got, I want to say like 12 people, maybe 14 that we've got in so far. It's a $500 deposit due by June 25th. Now, you can get that to me sooner. It just locks your place in. We have some guys that wait to the end and have been the odd man out. We will have a small waiting list if need be. And that way, if somebody were to drop out, maybe we can make that deposit refundable, especially if we have somebody that's ready to buy in. And I kind of wanted to break that down, so everybody understands. When you do an event at a place like this, you're signing a legal contract. So if you look at, the 1,055, so you can gather the contract when you go by 36 people. We're basically at about a $40,000 contract you sign to get this set up. So it's not, we're not making this a huge event or anything like that. This is just 36 guys going down to play. We don't have really anything set up. We will get everybody as we get closer and say, hey, we're going to do X amount of dollars for pins, X amount of dollars for skins. We may expand on that depending on, what happens. We could do a blind two-man best ball draw. There's a bunch of games we could do. It's just how many people want to get involved. Some people, like to get out there and gamble. Some people don't. Most of us are degenerates. That is what it is. So, like I said, that $500 deposit's due by June 25th. The remainder will be due on July 23rd. And like I said, deposits will be non-refundable because we have to make that pay to the course, basically, as our deposit, basically. So I can accept Venmo. And it's at Steve-Vaught. That's Steve-Vaught-2. So it's Steve-Vaught-2. That's my Venmo. You can reach out to me. I can do Zelle, Google Pay, whatever's easiest for you. If you're local and you need to meet up, you want to give me cash, I'm fine with that. Doesn't really matter. I just want to jump on here and make sure that everybody knew that this was not a scam. I saw that Richard Gere jumped on and I kind of said, "Hey, I know these guys. I play on the US Am Tour, so I appreciate you, Richard, for doing that." But remember, again, this is first come, first serve. So your deposit is what secures your spot. Next Thursday on this podcast, we'll expand on this a little bit. But I just wanted to give you guys that option. And I will give you a little insight that we've had over the past trips we've done down here. Don't shy away from that single occupancy room. And I'll explain to you why. Because if you don't come down there with a roommate and we kind of get you a roommate and your roommate likes to go down to the casino till 3 o'clock in the morning and come back and come in the room and it's waking you up. We've had that happen several times. So don't be afraid to shy away from the single occupancy rooms. We only have X amount of those locked in. The hotel will allow me to shift some of that stuff around if I get them the information as quickly as possible. So I should be able to make that. If you want to say, "Hey, I'd like to have a single occupancy room," get me that deposit as soon as you can. Get your name down so I have all that and I know what you're looking for room wise. And that way I can get a hold of them and say, "Hey, I need to add some more single rooms or what have you." So just keep that in mind. Again, subscribe to the podcast. Like I said, we're going to be talking about it all the way up until the time. We'll probably do, if we do some games, it'll probably be kind of a podcast where we talk about it and kind of put that out so you guys can see that. I just want you to know this is all up front. We don't make anything off of this. All I'm doing is I'm taking the cost they're giving me and passing it right on to you. It just gives us a little bit of benefit because we're going with so many people. So just keep that in mind. I hope everybody, gets involved and wants to play. Even if you want to come down there and meet new golfers that are in your area, kind of network, you may even be able to network some business stuff. We've had plenty of that happen. Now we've got friends in our group. They're, Michigan, Texas. They're all over Florida. They're all over the place. Or if you want to come and you want to get four of your buddies and you guys want to always be in the same group, completely fine with that. Not a big deal. I kind of like to get around and kind of get to know everybody. At least, shake hands, fist bump, what have you, just so I know who's all there. And that way I can include the guys we meet on things that are coming up or things we're doing locally, whether that's, kind of a meetup at a country club. Maybe you don't have a membership. We have a bunch of people that we basically have someone that's a member at almost everywhere around the Indianapolis area, at any of the country clubs. So, we can make some moves and get on some courses that you generally might not be able to get on, is what I'm saying. So like and follow and subscribe to the podcast. Like and follow our social media. Reach out to me through Messenger or on one of the posts. I got posts on Indiana Golf Group. I got posts on the Golfer Clubhouse. We've got our posts on our Facebook page, Two Dudes One Cart. So hey, I appreciate everybody listening. I hope you guys get out there with us. It's going to be a great time at some spectacular courses. I'm sure it's definitely a must to play if you haven't. And once you've played it, you're going to want to play it again. So again, thanks for everybody for listening, and I'll talk to you later.